And we're back.
We are back for another episode. Welcome, everyone, to Three Truths and a Slide.
I am
one of your co-hosts, Aaron Schaefer, and I am here with the leader of the Republic of Slide Nation, Kristen Froberg. How's it going, Kristen?
Amazing. I love my new promotion. Very excited about it.
You were unanimously elected, so...
Oh, amazing, amazing.
And for those of you who are new to the show, we talk about the TV show Sliders.
Yes,
for those of you that don't know, it's the one show on TV that has no rough patches, just keeps sliding along.
One to be found, yep.
It started in the mid-90s, goes all the way to 2000. It's a sci-fi show, prominently features Jerry O'Connell's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And each episode we talk about, I tell Kristen three truths and a lie of what we're about to watch. And she figures out how best to use her office to determine what to choose. So
exactly. Yes.
Kristen, are you ready for the next episode of Three Truths and a Slide?
I am ready. The last one was quite a bit of fun. So I actually don't even know what the next one is called at the time of recording. So
yeah, so this is episode season 2, episode 4, and this
right.
is The Good, the Bad, the Wealthy, and it premiered March 22nd, 1996. So all right,
with a title like that, I feel like it will be subtle. Can't wait to see if I'm right.
Okay, so here is the next batch of Three Truths and a Slide.
Okay.
And this is a very special list because this list has none of our heroes listed in it. This is all about the world.
Oh, okay. Okay. We love a deviation.
Yes. I try to keep mixing it up.
Okay. Isis is so excited. She's walking, trying to walk amongst the podcasting equipment. No, thank you. No, let me play the game. She's into
loving
it.
Loving the energy in the remote studio today.
Intern Isis, yeah.
Okay, so first truth, there's a stock ticker in a country bar. Second truth, lawyers are trained to shoot at each other. Third truth, the menu only has variants of steaks, so like steak and eggs, ribeye, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Fourth truth, blackjack dealers are government employees. So I'll go through that list again. First... stock ticker is in a country bar.
What is a stock ticker?
Oh, stock ticker. That's like the New York Stock Exchange, where it's like scrolling and it shows the index of all all the funds.
For someone who just rewatched Wolf of Wall Street, I should know. I was thinking as I asked it, like, oh wait, is it the okay?
Second, lawyers are trained to shoot at each other. Third, menu only has steak variants, and fourth, blackjack dealers are government employees.
Mm-hmm. Isis, do you have thoughts? Gosh, why wasn't I paying attention to which one you meowed during? I have it narrowed down to, I think the slide is... No, the flashing light is not of concern to you. Perhaps it is. Give me a sign. Is it the first, Isis? Is it the first one, the stock ticker, or is it the steak? Because I feel that it is one of the two. Gosh, it doesn't sound appealing to only have steak, but I guess there's sides with it.
I can expand on this. All of the entrees are all steak, but
each
of the entrees, they do have some sides that come with them, either like potatoes or rice. So
why is there no fish? Okay. I'm going to go with the first one, even though I'm really not sure.
All right. So the stock ticker is in a country bar. That's the predicted lie.
Yeah, just because I'm like, kind of, what country bar are they going to? They're in San Francisco, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, let's see if there's an OK Corral on the other side of the vortex.
All right. Folks, we're back. I'm disoriented. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm not next to a fountain, so I don't know where I am right now. But
so true.
So this world that we just experienced, Texas took over the entire Southwest. Oh, no, wait. Before the world recap, let's get into the list. Forget. Okay. Well, don't forget it, but we'll come back to it. So
you're going to understand why we're so disoriented if you watch the episode. It was all over the place, even by Sliders standards, but in a fun way, in a fun way.
So, Kristen, is there a stock ticker in a country bar?
Yep, there is.
Yes. And are lawyers trained to shoot each other?
Sure are.
Is there? Does the menu only have variants of steaks?
Only steak and an array of side dishes, yep.
So that menu won over my heart completely. And what about blackjack? So then, last but not least, blackjack dealers, are they government employees?
No, they are not.
Again, feels like a miss. They could have included that in the plot. That would have been very interesting to have.
Well, and that's how good you are at the game. But,
Wow. I'm in the slide groove. Sliders is my muse.
As it should be. As it should be.
Okay. So Texas took over. So world recap. And there's a lot to unpack with the world. And I don't even know how many locations they end up going to. So many places. This episode is all over the place. The plot's all over the place. It's kind of hard to summarize. Chris and I were trying to do it off the air.
I was like, if you had to sum this up in like three sentences, how would you even do it? And I think I got lost halfway through that because I was like, well, then they kind of, I don't even know what the point is, but I had fun.
I know. I had like three like John Updike, like run on type sentences. okay. So the entire state of Texas is the entire Southwest of the U.S.,
right.
And it might be its own separate country. It's not entirely clear if it is. It's a mixing of like Western old timey, like OK Corral with the occasional stale corporate office. That's mm-hmm. the environment and an abundance of fountains. It could be the same fountain. It could be the whole city has fountains. I don't know. But every other scene is a fountain. And disputes are solved with guns between corporations.
Yep.
And our heroes befriend yet another young youth who's unsure. And it's unsure exactly who's helping whom. Are they helping him or is his mom helping Jerry? And
is anyone helping anyone? I'll spoil it now. My sliding made a difference is this youth grows up to be the innovative country music artist Orville Peck. No, he doesn't. But I've gotten into Orville Peck recently. If you're like, country isn't for me, check out Orville Peck. Very interesting. Circling back to the Western theme, I think the men kind of wear Western-esque outfits. I don't think any of the women do. With the ladies, it's a lot of power business suit situations. But the styling's all over the place. The locales are all over the place. Jerry's hair is not all over the place, though. And that's constant. And we feel safe.
That is something that you could set your clock to. Just every mm-hmm. follicle in its rightful place.
In these changing worlds, plural, his hair is a constant.
And so then there's like different shootouts that happen. So
that's actually a good summary of the episode. There's different shootouts that happen.
And other shootouts that almost happen.
Right.
Okay, so another low-budget intro slide in from our heroes that starts off with a great line, from a world of dust to a world of dung. And
right.
But then, it starts off with this weird tone that is not carried through the episode, where the light, like, it's clearly on a sound stage. But they're pretending that it's outside and they're pretending that it's dusk. and the sun is setting behind them, but the light is shining in front of them. And right. I'm like, what is this? Like, Kristen, what were your thoughts when you...
It's the Twilight Zone, and that's why this kid is so weird. Okay, Eva, the kid does a fine job acting. I gotta say, it's the character. Like, this is a weird kid. Like... even by the standard of child actors on this show, this kid's a weirdo, not the actor. Wish him well, hope the best. But as you will see, it's a weird kid, an intense child. Although we do understand why he's like firing a gun at a big poster in the beginning. And our heroes come through and promptly see this child.
And someone makes a comment about children with their guns. And then Slade, did you notice the Slade moment?
I didn't write it down, but yeah, she said boy children or something like that. Like
Slade, bringing the facts.
She has commentary, although, yeah, I don't know. I sure did love a water gun in my day, but wow, that is the like most old person sounding thing that I've ever said. What I wrote down as they come through is the way the professor says, "Thank you, Quinn Mallory, for inventing sliding." And it's just, lest we forget, let us not forget. The professor won't let us forget. And then they notice this child. It's a little bit of a problem that someone saw them slide. They're kind of hoping the kid can forget it and move on because they've like never met a child before. Then I wrote his accent in all caps referring to the professor, because when the professor spoke to this young man, Aaron, what were you thinking? Like, what were you experiencing?
How would you rate on the score of how would you compare it to Waluigi Professor? Professor Gucci.
Oh, it's up there. I mean, in both cases, I asked what is happening and loved it. So it was a similar out of body experience. Rembrandt and the professor are truly interacting with this child like they've never interacted with a child before. Which he's weird. So, you know, I get it.
So they go to this saloon city that's on the outskirts of San Francisco. It's mm-hmm. like all old-timey. And the professor wants to go find an almanac so he can be triggered. So he leaves our heroes.
Yeah.
And everything's Texas in this area. And then there's an altercation in this bar. And Jerry dares to call a dude a jerk. Kristen... there's a lot of action shots. There's a lot of slow-mo. There's a lot of Jerry watching Jerry energy of people watching Jerry and this guy square off, OK Corral style. What were your thoughts as all this was swirling around?
There's a lot of aerial shots. Do we normally get this many aerial shots?
No. They hired the crane just for this episode.
Well, and when you know what happened the second time... and you're watching, you really notice. But so, listen, Jerry's just trying to do the right thing, stand up for the little guy, and becomes a folk hero in the process. Like, tale as old as time happens so frequently, right? He's just trying to de-escalate an argument, and then it very quickly becomes, no, we're shooting to the death, so I feel like a gun is thrown to Jerry in like maybe some slow motion, and then he catches it.
Yeah.
And then
there's a vertigo shot of scrolling in with the crush behind him.
And then some guns fire and someone is shot dead by a gun, and the child is peering in the window. And then because it looks like what happened, I'm being very heavy-handed, it looks like what had happened is that Jerry shot like this guy who's supposedly the fastest draw. He gets hauled into the police station, but there's a lot of interest.
Little does he know that there is a gun that is smoldering on the stairwell. And
indeed.
So Jerry's taken away. Oh, the cops arrived, and like someone got out negotiated. The bar association will want in on this. So Jerry's taken away to the police station, and he's grilled on, you have no law degree, no MBA? How did you learn to shoot like that? And then a cowboy comes in to take him out of custody and through exposition overpowers a cop to take Jerry to the man up high.
Is this Billy Ray that does this?
Yes, this is Billy Ray. Yes.
Billy Ray. Is it Billy Ray Bledsoe? What is his last name?
Billy Ray Cyrus?
No, we love Billy Ray Cyrus. In this house, we love Billy Ray Cyrus. But no, the character in the episode, his name is Billy Ray something, but it's not Billy Ray Cyrus. Oh, Maybe I'll just call him that.
I didn't write it down. I don't know.
Billy Ray something. That's what I'll call him.
But by the way, shout out to the prop department. So there is the briefest shot. Like, I had to rewind it a couple of times to get the exact freeze frame of it from the prop department, where it shows the map of the U.S. and it's the Republic of Texas that's in the southwest corner that takes up the whole area. So it's basically like Texas, like to the Pacific Ocean. And then the rest of it says U.S. So it seems to be a separate country, but they behave like it's the same country. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. But
it's wild. It's wild. The Wild West. Oh, and also previously they went to get a businessman special at the restaurant. And that just made me laugh because we think of Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Do you have like a businesswoman special? Like, so just good stuff there. But yeah, Billy, they're trying to interrogate him. They don't know that Jerry simply can't be interrogated. I dare say a theme of season two. And as is so often the case, someone interrupts this attempted interrogation of Jerry.
Yes. And so he's whisked away, and then we go back to the street where the professor gives an exposition dump about the world that he is not triggered by. So this almanac does not trigger him. And, the kid during the exposition dump says that he said that they flew into the world like the Mighty Morphin Texas Rangers.
I wrote that down because great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah. So that is, I would say that's the first TV show spoof name that's like the best TV show spoof name that Slatters has come up with so far. That was so.
Oh, concur.
It was so well done.
And the Mighty Morphin Texas Rangers. Yes.
We end up in the stuffy penthouse of the large corporation, which is helmed by, I don't have the actor's name in front of me. But I wrote down the name Desperate Housewives Bro Manson. I don't know what his real name is.
Because he's at the prison, but word has got around. The world got around. They said this kid isn't. No, I didn't sing the lyrics to Hamilton right then because I don't want a copyright. But once again, Hamilton parallels. But Jerry became a folk hero immediately. And some rich guy corporate thing was like, go get him. And they have gotten him. They have procured him. And is this when they're at the Transamerica building?
Is it the Transamerica building?
They said Transamerica, and I was like, yes, shout out Landmark.
Yeah.
So they're there.
Sharknado, shout out.
Indeed. Thinking about that beautiful, beautiful tidal wave. But yeah, they bring him in there, and they're just like mystified, like, who is he? And they're as mystified as the sort of police were about, but how are you this good? And can Jerry really answer that?
Jerry is offered the job. And so he's like, I'm not sure. And they're like, all right, well, let's go party anyway. So they go to this karaoke bar. And
they do.
Kristen, was anything notable happening during the opening shots of this karaoke bar?
Here was where I encountered my MVP of the episode. It's this singer who's in the country karaoke bar. I mean, he's bad, but he's bad so incredibly well that I've got to advise people to watch the show. He's really going for it. The energy that he brings, this is a real thing. Anyone who can do bad singing that well, I just really, really love it. And at this, like, he's in this bar and he's kind of yelling some exposition over the phone at Rembrandt, who's in the hotel, I think. And they're like, where are you, man? And he's like, I'm, you know, it's chaotic.
And then, so Jerry's then summoned to the stage to speak to the crowd because no episode is complete without Jerry summoning a crowd.
No.
And then he gets a challenge from a hair man dude who...
Okay, I didn't write anything down about him, but that's the perfect way to sum him up. He is a hair man dude.
And it should have been either Wilson or Benish. That would have been an amazing challenge.
Should have been, but and is not.
All we got was hair man dude.
And then what happens next? Does he challenge him because he has a problem with who Jerry supposedly shot?
Yeah, so apparently it's like, since Jerry shot the lead attorney, now Jerry is being offered lead attorney. And he was like, I didn't kiss up to that guy for 10 years just to have you waltz in here.
Right.
So.
It's the, he sucked up for a long time, but then also you can maybe just jump to the front of the line by shooting someone. The rules of the universe in this episode, not making a lot of sense, but Billy Ray, someone just takes control of the situation and shoots that guy before Jerry has to do anything.
So do you think, so then we go back to the hotel where Jerry's drunk, and Kristen, do you think that Saved by the Bell was recorded before or after this episode? I didn't do my IMDb research before this, so.
Which Saved by the Bell? I mean, Saved by the Bell was on the air before this, but are you talking about a specific episode?
Yeah, so Elizabeth Berkley running around supposedly on drugs felt like Jerry being drunk. It was the exact
caffeine
same
pills.
Energy. Yes.
I'm so excited. Okay. No, and I wrote that this is some of my favorite acting from him ever. He comes in and says, yeehaw, and his delivery of yeehaw is just some good stuff. I wrote, he hit himself in the face, iconic, this is top five Jerry. I just really liked it. His drunk acting, it's what you want. It sparked joy.
Marie Kondo would include it.
And oh, yeah.
And then Jerry wakes up the next morning, and all I wrote was he has feelings. So... then we go to the exposition dump where we're in the casino and the smolder lady is doing exposition dump about how she's about to lose her company to the desperate housewife Bro Manson.
Where do the prairie oysters come in, and which Audrey Hepburn movie are they in?
That,
prairie oysters.
So that is technically later in the hotel, but we...
Oh, okay.
So we basically, like, before we get there, so they're at the fountain, Wade talks to the youth, and Smolder introduces herself.
Wade's having this, yeah. Wade is talking to this child, and the child's like, I know for a fact that y'all, and specifically Jerry, came here to avenge my father and save the world. And Wade's like, not remotely. she says it nicer than that, though. But she's like trying to explain to this kid that, like, no, I'm sorry. Like, Jerry actually is very conflicted about how that man died, even if he was a bad man. And the kid is like, you know that thing of when someone writes no with a heart emoji after it? That's this child.
And then, so then there's a knock at the hotel. And who is at the door? Is it the Grim Reaper about to deliver papers?
Sadly, no. It's like the hot mom, right?
Yeah, so it's Slade and Smolder.
Yeah,
and
she's straight from telling her child no. And then he has some line about how he'll go play with his childish things. That's really, it's weird because he's a weird kid. Again, no shade on the actor. But yeah, no, this woman, I was like, she's very pretty. And even the 90s styling couldn't bring her down. I was like, she's given me Ally McBeal energy, but she's wearing a red suit, absolutely crushing it. Like she's what the song Short Skirt Long Jacket by Cake is about. She is touring the facility and picking up slack.
And so that long jacket has a pocket in it with a drink that she presents to Jerry. Did you have any thoughts on this transaction, Kristen?
Yes. Where I was like, where have I heard of prairie oysters before? I am sure that it's an Audrey Hepburn movie. Is it Breakfast at Tiffany's? Sorry, I've got to do it. I've got to look it up in real time. I know it's an old movie. Prairie, and what do you know what's in a prairie oyster other than like a raw egg?
No, I
oh no, is it actually in Cabaret? Wow, kind of a big difference. Yeah, it's in Cabaret, I don't know that Liza Minnelli's character, Sally Bowles, is even necessarily drinking a prairie oyster because something's going on with her. I think she's just drinking one like to drink one. No, so I was off. I thought it was maybe Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's, but it is Liza Minnelli, Sally Bowles Cabaret, which one might argue there's a bit of a through line there in some character stuff. But anyway, thank you for going with me. We solved it real time on the air. Supposedly, it's a hangover cure. Do we here at Three Truths and a Slide advise having a raw egg and et cetera for your hangover? I don't think so. I cannot endorse a raw egg, but
that might be the episode title. I cannot endorse a raw egg.
But she's got a hangover cure and exposition for him.
And so they go downstairs and Smolder informs Jerry that she shot the dude and wasn't Jerry. And then Jerry gets picked up off the sidewalk to go into a car to go to a shooting range.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, he feels guilt that the dude died. But every, like, the woman and her kid are like, no, it's fine. He was bad. Because he, like, did something to her company. I don't know. My actual notes say, it's okay that he died because he did a bad thing to her company. Something like that.
So at the shooting range, Jerry has the worst aim. Have you ever seen the movie The Shakiest Gun in the West with Don Knotts?
I have not.
Okay, so you know who Don Knotts is, right?
Oh yeah, Barney Fife.
Yeah. So he, like, you know, he's like shaking his gun, like he's like a really bad shot. And the thing is, like, whatever he's aiming his gun at, like if he's like shooting up at like a plant that's hanging up, he'll hit a spittoon on the ground. He's just like the worst aim. And so that's the premise of the movie, The Shakiest Gun in the West. And I hadn't seen that movie in, like, I don't know, 20 years or whatever. And when I saw this scene, I was like, are they trying to rip off this scene? I wouldn't be surprised, because it was like, it's all like Western, and I don't know, like it had a very Don Knotts energy to it.
I am. Okay. I started to Google, he did it, he missed, and Google auto completed, he did it, he missed the barn. We're going to find out in real, because that's what this made me think of. He did it, he missed the barn. I cannot remember if it's in, I think it's got to be in Cat Ballou, because I haven't seen the original Rooster Cogburn movie. I only saw the Coen Brothers True Grit remake. I think that Lee Marvin in Cat Ballou, they're trying to get him to shoot at something, and someone yells, like, he's supposed to hit something on the barn. He does not. And then the guy yells, he did it. He missed the barn. I've now explained this joke so much that it's not funny at all. Yep. Okay. If you Google he did it, he missed the barn, it will in fact come right up. Cat Ballou, 1965, Lee Marvin. I've ruined the film for you. You're welcome. No, there's other stuff that happens in it. But yeah, he's not a good shot. And you can see his companion, Billy Ray something, like, well, I think they try to justify that, like, it's just the wrong kind of gun for you.
And so then we go back to the poker. So we go to the casino for the first time, and it turns out that's where the stock exchange is.
Right.
With $1 million buy-in. And Rembrandt turns out has skills with a capital Z playing poker.
And he has skills. And also this guy at the poker table, he's really something. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. So he's like the JV MVP. Like he's, he definitely threw his hat into the ring for contention.
This actor, he would have been the MVP if the karaoke singer hadn't gone so hard. I got to IMDb this actor. He's making choices. He's making vocal choices. He's making physicality choices. But
so the people that
he's
play
challenging at, Rembrandt.
Yes, and the people that play at these poker tables, those are like the corporate negotiators,
right?
And so Smulders' negotiator turns out has been killed, and while Rembrandt is at the table, And so she told Rembrandt to keep folding because she didn't want to lose money. After they find out this dude has been killed, Rembrandt then takes off his jacket because it is business time, people. The skills are coming out.
Time. Yeah.
And Slade.
Lieutenant Derricks is having a great time in the scene.
Oh, yes. So I definitely have lines of when it comes back to him. Before then, Slade butts heads with the cop. I didn't write down any other notes.
Yeah.
On that.
No, she's like, there's all this. She says all this bad stuff about this bad dude. And the cop basically says, don't talk negatively about him. He's a job creator. So
that's right.
Twitter cop is just, you know, reciting his talking points. And then she says, she has.
Did you call him Twitter cop?
Yeah, because he sounds like he's on Twitter. She says something about, oh, what are you going to do? Kill me and make it look like I did it myself, like with the other guy. And because that's probably what, like, Twitter cop is mad because, listen, she's solving crimes in real time. She's Slade. He doesn't understand what he's up against, but he's being very menacing towards her because Twitter cop, this is a competent woman. He's threatened. But so she's figured out what, I mean, does the episode tell us anything to indicate that's not what happened, that they got to him and then made it? I want to be sensitive in the terms I use, but the cops got rid of this minor character and then made it look like that was a thing which he had done himself. And Slade just boldly goes to yell at this Twitter cop about it. So that goes well. And then what?
And then we're back at the stuffy corporate office. Jerry's up there. And they call him in there and they're like, are you with Smolder? We took you in. We made you like family.
Oh, yeah. Had a note on that. Once again, what do I say? What do we say here at Three Truths in a Slide? When a business talks to you about we're like family here, or we made you like family, which is we're like family here adjacent, run. Now, as it turns out, there's more than one reason Jerry should run, but this just adds to it. So yeah, the word got around that he is her lawyer now, despite him being very open that he's like never had any law training whatsoever. Nope. And it's a problem.
And so Jerry then bluffs his way out of there where he pretends he's like, all right, you want to shoot right now? You think you're faster than the other dude that I killed? And they're like, whoa, we can't. So then
her, I have no skills. And she's like, she basically said, well, just like act like you do because legend's more important anyway.
Yes. Smolder advice. And then, then we go back to the casino and Rembrandt, like Cleveland Derricks is dominating this table with his acting, with the lines, with his cards. He is just shredding these people. And the great line. So the guy has four threes and Rembrandt shakes his finger at him and has the great line of one more three and you might have had me. And then
I don't understand poker, but I enjoyed watching the scene a lot because he was having such a great time in it, seemed.
Yeah, because Rembrandt had four jacks. So four jacks beats four threes, which there's no poker hand that ever had that ever. And then the guy's like, hey, Jim Bob, why don't you go take out more money so I can play more? And then Cleveland Derricks is like, yeah, why don't you hurry on up there, Jimmy Bob? And the way he delivers it is just amazing. Oh,
yeah.
It's
best. Once again, throwaway lines, but Cleveland Derricks doing the most. I mean, my favorite thing of him in the whole episode is his reaction to when Wade comes in, but we'll get to that.
Oh, so then we end up at another fountain to have a meeting.
Yeah, fountains. What does it mean? Symbolism.
And so Jerry's fan club of the one lonely weird youth is praising him. And I just wrote down the quote, maybe there is something I can do. Does Jerry say that? I don't know.
Yeah, and he says, but it's not killing people. Because prior to this, there was a scene where... There's just been several moments where Jerry's like, no, I don't care how happy everyone else is about it. I killed someone and I really feel strongly about it. And then the woman takes some of the guilt away from him because she's like, actually, I killed him. But like, part of the thing is that like, the youth is really not enjoying the idea that Jerry does not want to shoot anyone for any reason. He's like, but yes, you do.
and
yeah.
So then that youth takes matters into his own hands.
Yeah, because his mom and Jerry try to tell him. I mean, his mom is not. I don't know what she's trying to plan with Jerry, because Billy the Kid has been summoned at this point. And I was like, I don't even know who this is. Is it a sheriff? Is it a wild gunman? He's from the East. The woman's like, you're going to get shot by this dude. Something's still avenging the father. The upshot is that Jerry and the mother are talking and the child steals a gun while this happens.
And then so we go back to the corporate office where the Desperate Housewives bro Manson is behind the desk. And this youth walks into the door, gun brandished. And they're like, hey, how'd you get past security?
Yeah. And, well, he just, I have to imagine it was kind of like how Jerry strolled out of the execution chamber that one time. Like, he just let them know that he had somewhere to be. That's really all you have to do, I think. When you mean business, they know.
And then Jerry sneaks, somehow gets in there past security. Like, what good is security in this office?
Yeah.
And
it's
then.
No, it's not.
And then Slade has the line that it'd be better if guns hadn't been invented, which the professor, I believe, quips immediately after that, stop whittling, woman. And the professor always playing a very good heel in all circumstances.
Well, see, I blocked that out because my favorite line, have we gotten to it or have we not? This is how all over the place the episode is. It's when Wade enters the bar or the whatever and sees Rembrandt's cards and says something about it. Has that happened
yet?
Oh,
no, sorry. That was before. So that was when Rembrandt... you know what? I didn't even include that part in my notes. Let's just talk about it right now, because the last thing I have is going back to the fountain for the final showdown. So we're not...
So Cleveland Derricks does not... Rembrandt does not want to leave that setting because he's really cleaning up, is what I understood to be happening. I don't understand poker.
Yeah.
but she goes, what are you talking about? All I see is a bunch of mismatched hearts. And his facial, like, throwing down the cards reaction to this is so funny. The other guy's reaction is very funny too, but like, her delivery is great. Everyone's reaction is great. That was absolutely the way to get him to leave the environment. It was just a fun little throwaway comedic moment that I love to shout those out when I see them.
Yeah, so he had a flush and she called him out. And she didn't understand that it was like a really good hand.
She's like me. She doesn't understand what's happening. But Cleveland, why am I calling him by his name? I usually call him Rembrandt by his character name. Only Jerry really gets the distinction of just being Jerry, you know?
One thing I will point out with these poker tables is... This is the one big miss that the prop department has had so far. I'm going to blame budgeting constraints, because like, I think that the glow of that intro shot of the soundstage ate up all the budget. I'm just going to assume that. The poker chips that were at the table were cheap. Like, they're not poker chips that you would ever see in any casino. Like, they're the super cheapest poker chips that, like, you know, like, I don't know, grade schoolers have in their closets underneath the rest of their board games. Like, that's the red, white, and blue poker chips. And they didn't even bother trying getting chips that looked like the clay type chips that are in casinos. So, regrettably, the first miss of the prop department so far in Slide Nation.
I mean, it's still an incredible batting average.
No, I would love that batting average. I would love that resume. Okay, so then we end up back at another fountain for some reason, where it is the OK Corral. It is Jerry versus... I've seen this actor in something else before. I forgot to look up what actors are in. He was in like some, was it Corky Romano? Yeah, this is the guy that was the hitman in Corky Romano. And
is that a Chris Kattan movie?
It is, yeah.
Corky Romano. Okay. Let me try not to drift into the weeds. But like, what I understood to be happening was that that woman was like, no, you can't get in a fight with this guy. You will die. And Jerry's like, I mean, I probably would if I wasn't going to slide, but we're about to slide. So honestly, iconic timing for us to do a little bit of speechifying, slowly climb into the portal at a snail's pace and then bounce. Is that basically what happens?
Yeah. So Jerry, I wrote that he lectures about not killing each other. And the guy's like, sorry, not interested. And then the wall of allies surrounds, flanks Jerry and protects mm-hmm. him immediately before the slide where the professor pulls the trigger. And the sheriff arrests, finally grows a spine and arrests the desperate housewives bromancing.
Yeah, because he something evil plotting. Sometimes my I can't follow it is a joke and I'm just being goofy and lazy. Aaron, I couldn't really follow this episode, but I was like, no, I feel like I'm getting the important parts, which is that everyone's good at their job here. I mean, like in our real world where they're doing the show, is everybody good at their job within the world of sliders on this planet? No, but it makes for a lot of fun.
I don't know if I got so turned around the episode, but I wrote down this note that I think the episode might have even been confused by itself because they didn't show Slade or Rembrandt going into the portal. It's the first time they've done that.
Got to assume that they make it though. But, you know, the portal opens and the portal opening is honestly like an intermission. Like you got about 10 minutes before anything I'm kidding, but I just once again, like they take their time with the portal a lot of the time. But I don't know how touched this youth was by the anti-gun message, but
anti-gun message?
Or not anti-gun message, but what was the message?
I don't know
that there was a message.
I don't think there was.
Well, because, let me keep it brief because I really don't want to get into upsetting topics on it. But like now, if there was a scene where a child like took a gun, it would be a lot. It would be a statement. It would be saying something. This is just some stuff that happened like in a Sliders episode. Like, I don't think they were making a point.
So here's another movie that Sliders has influenced. The Patriot, starring Mel Gibson and Heath Ledger. So there's a scene of The Patriot where youths grab guns and, you know, shoot at the British.
And large adult sons.
And so I grew up in a house where my dad, we were not allowed to watch rated R movies. We weren't even allowed to watch PG-13 movies. And The Patriot is R. But when he found out that there was that scene in the movie and there were lots of people that were upset that youths were being depicted with guns, we rarely went to the theater as a family. He grabbed all of the kids and we were like, hey, do you want to go see a movie that's rated R? We're like, yes. So a family, we went to watch The Patriot. So,
well, if there's one thing Mel Gibson's going to do, it's make an R-rated movie that inexplicably your family and perhaps school are going to see. And I will leave it there.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been on a lighting stage and had the lights dim on a slider and felt a change or mood in the energy move and slide around? Well, here we are for another segment of yet again for how sliding made a difference.
Sliding made a difference for me this week. You know, the way that things align. I've recently discovered just a wonderful, wonderful artist called Orville Peck. There is no endorsement whatsoever. Just because I didn't understand what the little boy in this episode was doing or what he was going for. I only knew that he was an enigma and that he was in Western themed clothing. And then in my real life, I've been getting acquainted with the works of the artist Orville Peck. Sliding made a difference because somehow this confused youth hopped universes and came into our universe and emerged as the iconic artist Orville Peck. Again, no endorsement. I cannot recommend highly enough checking out his music on the Spotify or wherever. And he is an enigma because he wears a mask. This is true. You don't know who this man is. He could be anyone. But just an incredible voice, beautiful stories, just really weaving a tapestry through his words. No, and this is kind of a jokey segment, but again, I like all kinds of music. I've not ever been super into country music. Cannot recommend checking out Orville Peck highly enough, and tangentially Jason Isbell as well. If you think you're not into country, as our heroes didn't this week, they didn't think that they were into country, but then they didn't have a choice. You do have a choice. I would love for you to choose to listen to some Orville Peck or Jason Isbell and see if that makes a difference. See if that's a way in which sliding makes a difference for you.
Thank you, Kristen.
For as that always. Commercial.
This segment has been brought to you by Three Truths in a Slide.
Yep.
I'm so centered now. And I'm reminded that we have an Instagram account, Three Truths in a Slide.
Do.
We're also on Twitter and Facebook. And
sort of. No, we are.
We're there. We're not there very often, but we're there.
The portal has prevented me from sliding into those, but we're working on it. We're working on it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, our Twitter account only opens up on the astral plane, and there hasn't been any lightning
so
in the
true.
Sky yet today.
So true. Well, and I didn't want to get into it with Twitter cop, so I've just been like hesitant.
Twitter cop.
We're proceeding with caution, but.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this episode. Unless, Kristen, do you have any other last thoughts?
I don't. I'm completely serious. Check those artists out. They're great.
Well, Kristen, when can people watch us, listen to us again?
When? Where? You know it. It's on the flip slide.
All right.
All right. Bye. Until next time, folks.